Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 32. Of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, spooky, Halloweeny genie behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a free copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. Today's show is part 5 and the very last episode in a series that I have been doing all October on how archetypes come into play when doing shadow work. I am also, despite all appearances to the contrary, launching the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year before Halloween, which is a very unusual and I think kick-ass year-in-a-day series. And the first module that I will be releasing in that series is called Winter Transition and has a lot to do with shadow work. So that is why I chose that theme for the radio show all this month. And as far as archetypes go and how they come into play when you're doing shadow work, we've already spoken about 3 of the 4 archetypes of survival, and that is the saboteur, the guardian of choice, the child, the guardian of innocence, and the victim, the guardian of self-esteem. And today we're going to be talking about the prostitute, the guardian of faith. And if you missed any of those previous episodes, you can always listen to them on playback, on Blog Talk Radio, or on iTunes. In fact, I recommend going to iTunes and subscribing to the show. That way you will automatically get each and every episode and you won't even have to think about it. You can also, of course, leave me a review there if you want to, if you want to help my show reach a wider audience. And I always appreciate that kind of support. I actually get a little thrill out of it. And I've also included the show notes for today's episode on my website at, again, www.joannadevoe.com. You can also find some links there to previous posts I did on shadow work in case you don't yet know quite what shadow work is. If you don't know what shadow work is, this is like your month because that's what all these shows have been about. That's what the first module of this program I have coming out is about. And then, yes, you can go read those old blog posts I did. They're fairly informative and they involve some videos as well. Basically, shadow work is all about bringing to light the hidden, repressed parts of your psyche or personality that you have, even on a subconscious level, deemed unacceptable. It's about looking at those pieces and learning how to integrate them into your life in a way that is empowering rather than destructive, which I get more into in depth in this first module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, which is why I keep mentioning that. If you want to go further, you can check that out. If not, I still feel like I've given a pretty good overview of what that is here on the show. And for now, let's just stick to the guardian of faith. And I just think it's interesting that Carolyn Mace, whose work I based a lot of this month's series on, has labeled the prostitute the guardian of faith. It's especially interesting to me because faith is the word that I chose to work with this year. Faith at 40... My friend Lenora chose the word thrive for the year 2013, and I thought it was such a groovy idea to focus on working with one specific word for an entire year. I think there's actually been a couple books written on that. One in particular comes to mind in which a woman, every year, she gives herself a different word that I guess is the theme of that year. So I decided to try that out for my birthday, and faith was the word for me. And it kind of, in a way, it chose me. because that's not normally a word that I think about. I actually associate that with Christianity, and I know I'm not alone because I made that my word of the year. I've done quite a few Google searches on it and Amazon looking for books or articles talking about faith, and almost all of them have to do with religious faith and faith in Jesus. And I thought that was very strange because faith is something that comes into play in all of our lives. It's not just about Jesus. It's not just about religion. So I'm hoping to, like, take some of that back this year for the rest of us, because we all need to have faith in our life, at least just faith in ourselves, which is mainly what I'm focused on. Anyway, I feel like it kind of chose me, that word, in that my faith was tested recently, and I suspect that it will continue to be tested as I navigate my way through the aftermath of that experience of my faith being tested. not exactly the way I intended to kick off my 40th, birthday, but I am sure that when I look back on this, I will see that it was perfectly fitting. At least I hope so. I like to think that these things happen for a reason. And I saved the prostitute for last, the guardian of faith, because it has a certain charge to it. Just the name alone, the prostitute, it's kind of in your face. And this is an archetype that many of us have a hard time seeing reflected in the patterns of our own life. And that is one of the many reasons I am grateful for Carolyn Mace. Her book, Sacred Contracts, does a wonderful job of explaining how, in fact, we do all have this archetype hanging out in the shadows somewhere. And as I said, I love the way she presents it as the guardian of faith. Robert Ojado, too, I just want to mention, has wonderful things to say about archetypes. He does talk some about the prostitute and a lot about shadow work, and has contributed as much to helping me understand this aspect of psychology and how it can inform one's spirituality as Debbie Ford or even Carl Jung has. All great teachers, so many teachers, so little time. And I hope that what my show can do is to serve as a kind of cliff notes experience to the work these people have done, that I can give you a general overview and a basic understanding of these concepts that can seem a little intimidating at first. And I think sometimes we make this stuff out to be harder than it really is. I mean, of course we do, or else we wouldn't need to be sitting here talking about it right now. We wouldn't be reading the books and taking the courses and doing the exercises. This is something that we are still trying to come to terms with, the shadow. And the thing about the shadow is that you will always have one. You will never not have a shadow, at least not in this life. It is an integral part of being a human being, and it does have its good points too. It protects you and takes care of you as much as it causes problems. So you might as well try to make friends with it. But the thing about the shadow is that it is a vast, complex terrain, and there are many different characters hanging out in there having a party at your expense. And it can get overwhelming trying to tackle the whole gang all at once. So that's why it's good to look at it one archetype at a time. I actually learned about shadow work before I really understood archetypes, and I have to say that getting into archetypes really helped me get down to the business of doing shadow work and addressing it in a more practical way that served me and helped me, navigate my way through life. And today, as you know, we are looking at the prostitute, the world's first profession, supposedly. Actually, I can believe that. I can believe that the world's first profession was born of the desire to trade sex for safety or food. Why not? I mean, it seems plausible. The sexiest girl wins the biggest, strongest, fastest man. It ties right into the survival of the fittest, only now, I suppose, the biggest, strongest, fastest man has become the richest, most powerful man. It's all the same thing. Sex for food and shelter, Manola Blahniks. Have you heard that line? Do you even know who Iggy Azalea is? If you do, have you heard that line in her song Work? Valley girls giving blowjobs for Louboutins. What you call that? Head over heels? I think she's singing about the prostitute archetype. No, but I digress. I do love Iggy. And for the record, the prostitute archetype is not about sex. It can be, obviously. That is part of it. But in a broader context, it's really about the negotiation of power. Negotiation. It's about the negotiation of power. Will you negotiate a part or all of your power away? Of course you can negotiate your power away physically and sexually. You can trade in on your beauty or your sexual attractiveness or ability. You can negotiate the use of your body for dollars, as we see so many pop stars doing in the media today. It's very interesting that that is such a hot topic right now, right as we are talking about shadow work and this prostitute archetype. It's fitting for my cause here today. Or you can negotiate your power away in other ways. You can use your emotions to negotiate. You can use your money, your talents, your skills as a housekeeper, anything that holds a piece of your personal power, anything that can be used as leverage to get something from other people. And the prostitute's core issue is really how much you are willing to sell of yourself, your morals, your integrity, your intellect, your word, your body, your soul, for the sake of physical security. So think about your own life. Consider the circumstances of your life and the times in which you feel you sold out. You gave up your power in order to survive, to get something that you thought you needed to remain secure, or even just to maintain the status quo. Ask yourself this: what kind of leverage do I have? If I had to cash in, what chips would I have to play? Maybe you are the person who fixes the boss's kid's guitar or car for free in a play for preferential treatment. Maybe you're doing favors for the boss in the hopes that, you know, he will give you special treatment. Maybe you regularly bake cookies for Sunday school in order to maintain your status among the children as the coolest mom. Do you laugh at a friend's jokes when they are clearly not funny? How about when they are offensive? Do you laugh even then? Why? Is it because you want them to like you? I like this example given by Carolyn Mace, who I know I'm talking a lot about, but got to give credit to the queen because she started all of this in my brain. After having you imagine that you have a finite, a limited number of energy circuits or circuits of creativity at your disposal as an individual, she explains that what the prostitute archetype represents are the challenges in your life that would allow you to sell some of those circuits to another person so that person can use some of your creative energy for his or her creative enterprises in life. I believe Thomas Edison did that. I believe he had a lot of prostitutes working for him, and he took credit for their work in exchange for them having a roof over their heads, which I'm sure is common practice in business. And it's about knowing that you can be bought. Can you be bought? If so, what's your price? And I don't say this to shame you. In fact, there is no shame in knowing that you have a price and being conscious in the way that you negotiate that. Knowing and consciousness is where your power lies. It is in that knowing that you have a choice. Remember, the saboteur is the guardian of choice. And all of these archetypes of survival, these survival archetypes, they all really work together and play together. So that's why I wanted to do a show on all four of them, so you can see how they kind of shape-shift into each other and play off of each other. And so choice is very much involved in the prostitute archetype and transforming that archetype into the guardian of choice, or I mean into the guardian of faith, excuse me. Choice is how you transform it into the guardian of faith. And you have to be conscious of what you're doing. You have to be conscious of the fact that you can have, that you can be bought, conscious of the fact that you do have a price before you can make a choice. Does that make sense? The prostitute archetype is an excellent measure of your integrity. Anytime you are not standing in integrity, anytime you find yourself willing to negotiate a piece of your power away, even if it's just to pay a compliment you don't really mean, you are engaging the prostitute. And what is really fascinating about this is that once you realize that that is what you are doing, like I said, you then have a choice. And that is when the prostitute becomes the guardian of faith. For example, you might choose to humor your boss as he drones on about his boring weekend because you value your job and that is a price you are willing to pay. However, you are not willing to let him accidentally brush his hand against your ass in the lunchroom. And there is a distinction there. Do you see the difference? And we are really just talking about shades of gray, no pun intended, but it is that sense of conscious choosing that allows you to stay in your power. So yeah, you'll let him drone on about his boring weekend, but you won't let him touch your booty. You make that choice consciously, and you know that you're making a choice consciously by the feeling that it gives you afterward. Your choice, the choice that you make, should leave you feeling in control and in your power. If it leaves a nasty taste in your mouth or an icky, or you just have an icky feeling afterward, you know that you have crossed into shadow territory and that you have stepped out of integrity. And that's good, actually, if you take note in that moment to remember that, so that next time you are put in a similar situation, you can make a more empowering choice. You can come to see the temptation to sell yourself out as an invitation to instead stand in your integrity and hold on to the faith that you are lovable without solicitation. You will remain employed because you do your job well and not because you've greased up your boss. And you can survive without a man. A man is not a financial plan. Have you ever heard that? I love that. A man is not a financial plan. I am pretty sure that pertains to the prostitute. And the prostitute, that is something I've had to deal with. I've had codependent relationships in my life. My current marriage, we've had to work a lot around codependent issues for sure. A book that helped me a lot with that I did not include in today's resource list, but is just popping into my head right now for anybody, for housewives or any women who are living with men who feel that your security depends on the survival of that relationship, as in you'll have to move if you break up, you will not be able to pay your bills if you break up, even if you love the person. I'm not saying that you're with somebody that you're using them for their money or that you're a gold digger. But if you're in a situation where the man in your life, and yes, I'm talking to women, but this could just as easily pertain to men, but if you're in a situation where if something should go wrong in your marriage or they should die, if you are in financial jeopardy, if your survival is at stake, the prostitute is very much at play in your life, and I recommend you go pick up a copy of a book called Prince Charming Isn't Coming. And I don't have it anywhere near me right now, or I would tell you the name of the author. She's very talented. It's a wonderful, eye-opening book. Prince Charming Isn't Coming. Go buy that book for your inner prostitute. And yes, so that is the prostitute, the guardian of faith. And this is the official end of this month's series on archetypes and shadow work. I hope you enjoyed this series and that you got something real and worthwhile that you can take away from all this. This whole month has been such a trip for me, and I am happy to say that I am just about finished with the copy for the first installment of the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. And you know, that has been a long time in the coming. It's the copy, actually, that's been holding me up. The illustrations, the website, the videos, all that has been done for a while. But the actual writing of the text, which is heavy and longer, actually, than I originally intended, that is what's been holding me up. So now you know a little bit more about me personally, probably more than I intended to reveal. I just do that sometimes. I can't help myself. But a lot of my shadow issues come out around writing. It's the part of what I do that I take the most seriously, probably too seriously, and I give myself the hardest time about it. It's where my perfectionist, Joanna Peabody, lives. She loves to hang out in that zone. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about when I say Joanna Peabody, and when my self-esteem takes a hit or life throws me an unexpected curveball like it did last month, I sometimes freeze up and writing becomes a long, drawn-out, torturous affair. It's like pulling teeth. I just freeze. And I guess I get that kind of classic writer's block feeling. And this is something that I have bumped up against before, a few times, actually, since starting Kick-Ass Witch even, but many times before that as well. And I'm sure it's something that I will bump up against again in the future, because clearly I'm still grappling with this aspect of myself. But I will say this time around that I have grappled with it in style. I've dealt with it with a sense of humor and have been able to observe, you know, myself almost from the outside looking in. I've been able to observe the struggle rather than get so entrenched in it that I start questioning my entire existence, which, believe me, is progress, because that's where I used to take it in the past. It was horrible the way I would let that snowball into all the other aspects of my life, which I did not do this time around, I'm proud to say. And I'm also happy to say that my writer's block is gone and I am writing like the wind. So something unlocked in my brain. I think it was just realizing that Halloween is coming and I wanted to have this sucker up before Halloween. And yeah, so I've been writing like my ass is on fire and I'm just about done. So that is good. And as I always say, I will take progress over striving for perfection any day. Perfection's boring. It's not even possible. And I have a little surprise for you before I go. I will be doing one extra show this week. It will probably be a short one. I'm not sure, actually. I don't know how long it will take to do what I've got planned. But it's going to be a surprise, a kind of pop-up show when the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year is good to go. So I'm not going to tell you when, what day, or what time, but you'll just have to stay on your toes for that. Maybe subscribe to Hippie Witch on iTunes so it comes to you automatically. And until then, I wish you a happy Halloween and a blessed Samhain. I want to give a special shout-out to Rochelle and Riley and Erica and who else? Sandy. And to all of you, much love. Peace.